What does his text mean?
So frustrating.
Maybe he's just not that into me.
I don't know if she realizes.
I've always been bad at flirting.
How can I get her attention?
I'm ready for marriage.
I just want somebody to share my life.
Is this relationship going anywhere?
Modern Love Made Simple. This is Dates and Mates with Damona Hoffman.
Happy Love Month, lovers. This is episode 4 of our Love Month 5 Q Feb, the 5-question February series, during which I am interviewing your favorite Dates and Mates prior guests to ask the most pressing questions in love today. We are using the hashtag 5QFeb if you want to get in on the conversation. My guest for today is back by popular demand. Mike Goldstein is a successful dating coach. He's a public speaker and also an author. You may have seen him on The Today Show, in Reader's Digest, The Star Ledger, or in Shape Magazine. And through his blog, Easy Dating Coach, he has reached over 100,000, surely more, 200,000, just so many women that need help in dating. And he's here to help the men and women of the Dates and Mates community. Please give big smooches to Mike Goldstein.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so pumped to be here.
I'm so glad you're back. And this is the perfect time of year because we're still feeling the energy of Valentine's Day. And whether people listening had a great Valentine's Day or one that they would rather forget, we want to keep people moving towards that road to love, right?
Yeah.
And then we'll also talk about this week's headlines, including, could your partner be snooping through your phone? And you can be overwhelmed and you can be underwhelmed. But could you just be whelmed? Plus, are Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner getting back together? Could be. I don't know. We'll talk about that in a minute, and then we'll answer your questions like, should you wait around for a guy who's super busy? And is it a red flag if your boyfriend thinks you're cute when you're jealous? All that and more on today's Dates and Mates. Mike, are you ready to do this?
Whoa, those are some great topics. I'm so excited.
You act like we just surprised you. He knows what's coming. He's ready for you guys, and he's ready to do the dish.
D's Dating Dish.
Whistle Out did a survey on how much Americans look at their partner's phones. And I'm talking about like unapproved snooping, not just glancing over, but actually like cracking into their phones. They surveyed 1,600 people from the ages of 15 and 55 about all aspects of cell phone privacy and snooping in romantic relationships. And it turns out that a lot of people, 48% of women and 31% of men, think snooping is okay. But people are worried, Mike. People are worried about things that their partner might see in their phone. And most people are worried about browser history, texts, social media accounts. What do you think about cell phone privacy? I mean, this is just a factor in relationships today. Should you be able to look into your partner's phone, or is the phone like a barrier for privacy, something that should still remain sacred and private?
Can I tell you a story?
Of course. We have nothing but time.
Oh, yes. So, Damona, I was 25 years old. I had a girlfriend, and we were at our beach house, and we were sleeping in bed, about to go to bed, and she's looking at her phone. And I glance over, and there's a message from a guy saying, come over, and it's about 1 a.m. at night.
Oh, no.
But I am the most trusting human being on the planet. You may not know this about me. So she gave me some explanation like, oh, it's just our friend. Like, he wants to drink more. And I was like, oh, that seems reasonable. And then I went to bed.
But you had a little bit of suspicion, surely.
I had a little bit. But I totally let it go because I just assumed I'm in love. She's in love. Like, we're good.
Oh, no. What happened?
Oh, well. Well, she was sleeping with him.
Did you ever confront her about the text? Because, like, looking at this survey, 38% of couples got in a fight or broke up over something, over snooping. So, like, was there ever a conversation like, you know, that text didn't quite sit well with me? Or did you ever go back into her phone and be like, I'm going to see if there are additional messages here?
No, I don't believe in that. Like, even through that story, like, privacy is important and trust is important. So any partner I'm with, like, they can do whatever they want. And I want to be in a relationship where I know and I feel safe for them to, they can be private. They can do whatever they want. I know we're together. There's no cheating. We're good.
Mike, you know what I love about that terrible story is that you still believe in love and you still have trust. Like so many times people go through an experience like that and then they think it means they can't trust anybody again. But it was like that was one situation and it seems like you're able to now separate her choices from the choices of whomever you're in a relationship with from that point forward.
Yes, but to be fair, there was a lot of healing. If you would have brought up her name probably for the first like 4 or 5 years after we broke up, you'd probably see my eyes like start to water. Like it definitely hit me.
Yeah.
But well, yeah, I'm over it now. But I always
can you give like a tip, one thing that you did to heal and move on after that situation and trust again?
Honestly, so right after it happened, I thought I was going to marry this woman. So I was crying my eyes out.
You're 25.
I know.
You had your whole life ahead of you.
This is true.
Good thing you figured out though before.
Yes. Right? So I was crying my eyes out for 3 months straight. And then finally I picked up a copy of John Gray, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And I realized I just didn't understand women at all. And I realized like I was a big part of the blame of why she was looking outside of a relationship. So that gave me a lot of clarity. So I guess for me, it was, what am I accountable for? What do I need to change? What do I need to work on? And then on top of that, I'm sad. Like, stop being sad. Go do some things. Go play soccer. Go to the gym. Go see your friends. Go keep yourself busy.
Yes. See. Would one of the things that you might do be go on a dating app and start swiping? That is something that our next article is all about. In Cosmo, they're talking about a new dating trend called whelming. And
what
this is
that?
When your matches complain to you about how many other matches they're getting. So I know, like, just to recap the story that you told, when people get, they're ready to move on, sometimes they go full force into swiping and they just swipe right on everybody because they want that instant gratification of like, somebody likes me. But would you ever then complain about the number of matches that you're getting? Because this seems to be an epidemic that's happening.
So you're telling me that I'm going to complain because so many women want to talk to me. Is that correct?
That's what people are doing. This is happening. And you know it's happening for your clients as well. Like they must be. I'm sure you're helping them to be online dating masters. And then are they getting overwhelmed by the matches?
Yeah, some of them. Yeah, that's fair.
But they wouldn't complain about it on the date because you told them not to.
Yeah, I don't know. What is that?
Well, the article also gave us some ways to cope if you are feeling overwhelmed. Because I think this is a symptom of this paradox of choice of feeling like there's this endless supply of matches. And their tips are really good for dating apps. They said, be more selective, ration your screen time, don't rely on just dating apps. And I know that you're a fan of alternate ways of dating as well. Don't swipe late at night. It's like I say dating apps are sort of like gremlins, like don't feed them after midnight because it's just like craziness ensues. That's when you get the worst possible matches. And don't take dating too seriously. What do you tell your clients about ways to reduce overwhelm when they're using dating apps?
Yeah, this is so important. Is first of all, online dating needs to be a science experiment. Like, try to leave your emotions to the side. I know, like, love is obviously a very emotional thing, but the actual online dating aspect, science experiment. Once you get to know someone, then emotions can get involved. But the strategy is you need to pick 3 times a week that you're going to go on. And if you've got a good system, like my clients are only doing 30 minutes 3 times a week. So that's manageable. It's not taking over your life. So maybe it's like Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 8 o'clock I'm going on. The key is what folks are doing is they're like, work's kind of boring right now. I'm going to hop on a dating app for a second. Ooh, I got a match. Ooh, that's not a fit. And then you repeat that sometimes 1, 2, 10 times a day, and you keep getting let down versus if you're going on once, you know, every few days and you're looking at maybe 5, 10, 20 at a time, then you manage your expectations of, okay, I got 10. Ooh, this one looks good. And then you don't get upset about individually each 9 times you got something bad, but you get excited about the one guy that actually makes sense for you, or woman, excuse me.
I like that. And I think that's a good philosophy for any kind of online escape. Like, I know I do the same thing with Facebook. I'll be like, oh, I just need to escape. My kids are making me crazy. I'm going to just escape into the world of Facebook for a while. But it does have the same effect when you are using it for more of an entertainment purpose than, you know, dating with strategy. I'd love to add one other thing that I think they did not touch on in the article that is really important. And that's in making sure that your profile is the right profile to attract what you want. Like, I did a profile polish for Shondaland.com in the fall, and the woman that I worked with, she was gorgeous. She had tons of matches, but she was like, I'm so over dating apps. And I hear this a lot of times from our Dates and Mates listeners as well. I said, let's be really specific in your profile. And I'm getting all of these things that you're not from reading your profile and looking at the pictures that you chose. Let's change the strategy and let your profile be sort of the online calling card for you, that the resume that draws the right applicants in. And what she said in the article, and I will put the link in the show notes if you guys want to actually read it, but what she said was, after she did my profile updates, she got fewer messages, which you would think is a bad thing. But at the same time, there were messages from more serious guys that led actually to dates instead of leading to overwhelm. And then she didn't have to complain about the overwhelm on the dates. One thing in this article, last thing about this article that I want to get your take on, is they said that single people should be using 5 to 6 dating apps, according to their study, to have the best chance at finding love, like based on how many matches people are getting that are actually turning into dates. 5 to 6 dating apps. What do you think about that?
No, thank you. No. Dating should be fun, and that's going to like take over your life. 6 dating apps.
Yeah.
That's way too much. I'm sure the listeners can tell us, like, the same people are on them, so you don't need to see them in 4 different locations.
Here he is again. I swiped left on it last time. Yeah.
But like, we've talked about this before, but
two,
I love
3.
No,
like, one? Just one?
Just get one good one. Like, and don't even do an app. Like, maybe like a match.com, probably, or like an OkCupid. And just build a great profile. I'm, as you know, I'm not a fan of apps because they're not as robust in terms of profiles.
Yes.
So if we're going to go on dates, I want to be more strategic with hopefully looking at a man or a woman's robust profile on Match. And it's like, whoa, a lot of things are aligned. I'm excited. Because if we're going to give up, you know, our Wednesday night and, you know, get dressed up and makeup and whatever needs to happen, mm-hmm. Let's be excited. And let's go on only one date a week. Pick a good one. So even if you have 12 options or 4 options or whatever, figure out which one is you're most excited about and do one date a week so you can still live your life and have 6 other nights where you're doing whatever you want to do. And this will be a much more efficient, much more strategic way to get a partner.
Yes, and then it will be more fun. You'll be enjoying it more. Well, one person is not really enjoying his dating and relationship experience right now is Ben Affleck. He was promoting his new movie and gave a very raw and real interview to the New York Times. And he said that the divorce with Jennifer Garner is his biggest regret. The biggest regret of his life. They announced their separation in 2015. You may remember it actually took another 3 years until they were divorced. And he fully admits they broke up because of his drinking, which it's something that is also a part of his family history. Like, his dad was an alcoholic and his parents' relationship broke up because of that. And it just makes me so sad to see him falling into that same pattern. And I want to know what you would tell a client who has a family history of something like divorce or like addiction. in how they can carve out a different path for themselves.
Whoa.
No softball questions here, Mike Goldstein.
I don't know if I'm qualified to answer, but I will try to answer that.
Well, I'm sure you've dealt with this. Like, people that don't have a positive relationship role model for themselves, you can still have a successful relationship, and your history doesn't have to be your future.
Absolutely. I mean, everyone has their own choice, right? So if you, and usually what you see is when they have a parent that went so far off the deep end in one thing, they're like, they don't even want to touch that thing because they don't want to repeat that.
Yeah.
So usually see that happen. But yeah, to your point, like, everyone has the choice, you know, do whatever you need to do to be happy and to be healthy, and then you can have great partnership.
What about this element? Mm-hmm. When we are so quick now to be looking for perfect that we're very quick to move on. And, you know, I don't think it was really Ben's decision once he went so far into his alcoholism. I think Jennifer just had to move on. But they ultimately divorced rather than working on the relationship. And I've worked with other divorce clients that were like, I'd much rather now have stayed with the person in a relationship that was challenging than be single again and have to basically start over. What do you think about that?
Well, I got a question. Is Jennifer Garner single these days, or has she moved
on? She's got a boyfriend, a guy named John Miller, who is kind of like a Ben doppelganger in a way. They have a lot of physical similarities. He's a younger man, too. He's 40. She's 47. I ain't mad about it, but that's the answer.
Well, I think she handled it how you're supposed to handle it. If there's alcoholism or something that's got a disease, you kind of have to leave. And if they get that sorted out and you're still available and, you know, they're wildly healthy and you want to revisit it, then go revisit it. But when they're in that state, you've got to get out of there.
Because you can't fix them.
Yeah. And they need to go fix themselves.
All right. Great insights. I told you, no softball questions here. We have the hard questions that are coming up in our next segment in 5Q Feb. So stick around. I'm here with Mike Goldstein, who's also known as Easy Dating Coach, right? EasyDatingCoach.com. So stick around for more Dates and Mates. Are you feeling overwhelmed and frustrated with dating and relationships and looking for a little more support? Then you are the perfect person to become one of my friends with benefits. We just launched a special Patreon program for our listeners who want a little more love from me. What is Patreon? Patreon is a platform that allows you to support creators like me to keep making helpful content that you want to hear, and it allows you to get amazing listener benefits by participating. Our page is patreon.com/datesandmates. What will you get if you sign up? First, we have a private Facebook group where you can chat with me and other listeners of the show. And you'll have an opportunity to join me for private group coaching sessions. Plus, you'll get secret behind-the-scenes content from our nearly 300 episodes of Dates and Mates. And for my really special top-tier FWBs, you can even get a personalized dating profile analysis from me with tips tailored just for you on how to make a magnetic dating profile that draws in just the right kind of dates to you. The Patreon is live now at patreon.com/datesandmates. And we have a special bonus for anyone who signs up at the Lover or VIP level during the month of February. You'll also get a free autographed copy of my book, but only if you sign up during this month of February. So go to patreon.com/datesandmates to see which tier is right for you. I look forward to supporting you on a deeper level and inviting you inside the community as one of my friends with benefits. We are back with Easy Dating Coach Mike Goldstein. And if you've been following all this month, we've been asking the same five questions of four different dating experts, and we're getting wildly different responses. So I'm going to kick it off, Mike, with our first question of 5Q Feb. What is the biggest challenge for daters today?
Whoa, that's a big one.
I told you, no softball questions.
Yeah, no softballs. Got it. It's dating's freaking hard and there's no manual. And, you know, if we look back to 100 years ago in the 1950s, our parents were getting married mostly for security, finances, money, safety, and everyone told us that's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
And now, you know, we've got women in the workforce, men in the workforce.
Boss ladies, too.
Boss ladies, kicking butt. And it's not like, hey, the man goes to work and the woman takes care of the kids. Now it's just confusing. And women have plenty of money and they're kicking butt. And now everyone.
We don't need you guys.
Exactly.
Mm, mm-hmm.
Now women are dating for love. And everyone's dating for love. And it's not security. And this is brand new. We've been on this earth for, what, thousands, millions of years? And now finally, the only reason we're getting together, or the biggest reason, is love, not just procreating and security.
So what do you, how do you see that changing the way that we operate in dating? If you're dating for love, how's your process different than if you're dating for security? You spend more time probably, right? Because you have to vet people.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely wildly different. Like if it's just security, it's like, oh, he's got a good job and he looks healthy.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I need.
And my parents know him. Like, that's the other thing that's different is now our dating pool has opened up to anyone possibly in the world who's the best match for us. So now, in addition to dating for love, we're dating to check, like, 17 boxes as opposed to, like, oh, well, I know him and he can be a good provider and he looks all right. Like, I could wake up next to that for at least a few years. You know, it was like the criteria... The criteria was lower and the ability to meet someone that really matched us on multiple levels was also lower. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's just way more variables to contend with. And then the other thing is like our brain tries to mess with us because for a lot of us, we kind of look at chemistry as the be all say all instead of compatibility. So we're like, man, when I'm with them, like it's just electric and I feel something. And what the heck is that? Like, you're going to spend 50 years with someone you feel something for? No. Like, what is this laundry list of things you actually need to be happy with someone for 50 or however many years you're going to be together?
Can I tell you something really corny?
Please.
As my husband and I have built our life together, I feel like the electricity has increased because it's like now we're not just checking boxes. We're actually intertwined in our lives. And as our lives have gotten bigger, like our love can actually get bigger. And I feel like there's this feeling that chemistry that you feel on whatever the first date or that people are like desperately searching for is something that is on a decreasing scale. Like it's never going to be as high as when you first meet. And I would love to see what happens if people looked at it in the inverse, like it can only build from here if you're with the right person that you're matching with on like much more on more long-term factors, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's so beautiful. No, it's not. Well, I mean, you're talking to a love coach. So I'm like, that's so beautiful. I love this. But back to your first question, that's what I think is the biggest problem, really, is we're not great at picking. So we end up picking, and then once we fall in love, we're like, all right, I'm going to stick this out because it's kind of close. You only get one person, so you got to make sure you pick the right person so then when you are together for years, you are going in that upward trend of the relationship getting better as opposed to what most people are, is it either flatlines or it's going worse.
Right. That's a good point. Okay. You aced that first question, Mike.
Oh, thanks.
Second question, what is the best way to find love?
Ooh, that's a big one too.
Love, love.
Love, love. First off, you got to do a little work and make sure you're like ready to rock and roll. Like you've got, and there's a lot to this because I have so many women that go to me and they're like, I have everything on solid ground. Like, I've got a great job. I've got this amazing house. And I've got this, like, all these activities I do and this amazing family. I'm like, that is wonderful. Do you know anything about dating or how the opposite sex works or whoever you're trying to partner with? And they're like, eh, not really. So there's a lot to it. It's one, you got to have a good life, but two, you got to kind of know how this whole dating, how to interact with whoever you're going after works.
And it's also, you have to have a growth mindset. Like, this is something that I haven't mastered, and I can actually learn something from Mike or from the Dates and Mates podcast. Like, there's room for growth, because the way you describe that, and I hear that a lot too from listeners, is like, it's a closed circle. Like, where's the space? If you have those five things, where's the space for another person to get in and actually enhance your life? How can you find love? So let's say you've done that and you have accepted that there is a skill set called dating that you are going to develop. Then what? How do you find love?
Well, then you got to decide, are you, I want to be in my pajamas on a Friday night doing online dating and find love? Or are you the type that's like, I've got the biggest personality on the planet and I want to be out there just mingling and meet someone? So who are you? And then go one of those routes.
It's good that you incorporate this idea of like figuring out what works best for you, because I'm big into online dating, obviously. And I think that that is just the best way in today's world to exponentially increase your dating options. But I also recognize it's not necessarily the right fit for everyone. And if you're doing it and it's making you frustrated or you're uncomfortable with it, and you've done the work that Mike is talking about to develop that skill set and get more comfortable, and it still doesn't work, but you have great success when you're meeting people out on a Friday night at a bar, then make your life easy, right? Why do we always complicate things for ourselves?
Yeah, I don't know if people can see a picture of me, but I'm like mediocre looking.
Stop it.
But online, like, if you'd call them the attractive women or the women that are good looking that have like seems their life together, they pretty much want nothing to do with me because I'm not everything marketable online. But when you put me in person, like sometimes I'm pretty charismatic. And then I'm able to actually kind of like hit probably above my league sometimes.
I'm not even buying anything, you guys. He's very attractive and he's very charming. But for you, you feel more like in your element, it sounds like, when you're meeting people out in the world.
I mean, prior to starting this, like I came from a sales background. And I'm like pretty social. So yeah, that's fun for me. But I'm also considered one of the top online dating experts in the country. So I teach that, and I work with, you know, eHarmony, OkCupid, Match with their data. So I can go both routes, and I teach a lot of clients online dating, but I also want to be open to who I'm working with and what their skill set is. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. So there's no answer to question two. There's no best way, but the best way is just to start and to get clarity on what path is best for you. How can people change their patterns in love? We talked a little bit about this in the Ben Affleck of it all. But what if somebody just recognizes a dating pattern? Like, oh, I always date jerks, or my relationships. Somebody just told me, I think someone DM'd me on Instagram and they said, I always have this thing where I'm like really into somebody at first, and then three or four weeks go by and I'm just not that interested anymore. If you recognize your pattern, which is the first step, right? Then what's the next step to changing it?
Like, first you gotta like go, why am I doing this? So like, get the explanation for yourself. I do this because X. So now that you know why, be like, all right, so how do I solve this? Okay, when person does X, then I'm gonna do this. So now that you've got a strategy, like right when it happens, you're like, oh, it's happening. I see it.
Yes.
And then you do your plan. So you can't do it in the moment because, like, as you know, when you go on date four and you're like, your heart's beating fast and you've got your butterflies, you're like, oh, I don't care about this anymore. Get your strategy while you've got, you know, a cool, calm, collected head. And so then when it happens, you're like, wait a second, I wrote this down. I have a plan. And then you can implement it.
I did a plan. I did a dating plan called Operation Date Nice Guy. Some of the longtime listeners know this, but I haven't talked about it in a few episodes. So I recognize my pattern was dating like these sort of creative types that weren't really into commitment, and that just wasn't the place that I was at in my life. And I was like, I need somebody that's like going to just be nice to me. So I actually really retrained my brain. I retrained what I was attracted to. I slowed everything down too. Like that's the thing, like the chemistry you're saying, that's reactive as opposed to responsive of like, okay, I'm taking this in and I know that my instinct is to do this, but what's better for me is to do that. And if you can create that space to give yourself time to respond instead of just reacting to whatever you're feeling in the moment, then I think that can put you on a different path. It worked for me. And it can work for you too.
I love that. That's such a smart way to do it. And that solves like probably 99% of the problem right there is if you implement that exactly.
I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't date those kind of guys anymore. And I couldn't accept that kind of behavior. Like there's also, what are you accepting in your life, right? Like what do you want? And then what are you letting be okay? And there, at a certain point, you have to, if you want to change your pattern, I'd say you have to recognize it. And then you have to choose not to do it anymore.
Yeah, and just to give folks some clarity on this, it's freaking hard because our brain actually tells us the exact opposite. They did a study, I think it was like 5 years ago, where they attached people's brains while they were dating people to see what triggered. And really, the reason we keep dating the same people is something triggers in the amygdala every time we date the exact same person, and it's basically comfort. We feel comfortable because it's like, oh, last time I dated this profile, ooh, it's the same profile. I feel comfortable. Let me go that route. And we'll just keep repeating that and I have clients that have been repeating that literally for 50 years where they keep dating the exact same person because it's comfortable. So you really do need to kind of like smack yourself in the head and be like, wait a second. It's why am I feeling comfortable? Is there something here that's not healthy for me?
Yeah. What am I reacting to? Because it does feel different. When you do it differently, it feels different. And it's just sort of like a fitness routine, right? It's when you start it, you're like, oh, this sucks. This is really hard and this feels uncomfortable. And then you get into it and then you see things changing and your lifestyle's changing and you're like, oh, actually, this isn't as hard as it used to be. But you have to get over that hump. Okay, I have more questions for you, Mike. Question number 4 is, what are the elements of a strong, long-lasting relationship?
Can I tell a story about the last one? Or
you have nothing but stories. Yes, you can tell a story.
Or do you want to keep going?
No, go ahead. Go ahead. We like your stories.
Okay. So my old client, Isabella, she had pattern issues. Mm. She had actually abuse. She came to me from an abusive relationship and was like, think of like 44-year-old woman, like battered, like very abusive relationship. She's like, but I've healed. I'm ready to go. I'm like, beautiful. We're going to start dating men that treat you well. She's like, you're absolutely right. We sure are. She starts dating. We send messages. We're sending messages to guys. We send a message to this guy. He wants to go on a date. She comes back from the first date. She goes, Mike, I'm not sexually attracted to this guy at all. I said, okay. On a 0 to 10 scale, how was the conversation? Like a 9 or a 10. I'm like, oh.
It's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Would you go on another date with him? I guess so, yeah. They go on a second date. Hey, Isabella, are you attracted to him yet? Nope, not at all. No attraction. Do you guys kiss? No. Okay. Date 4 or date 5. You still going to go out with him? Yeah, I'll go. How's the conversation? Oh, it's a 10. Really like him. He's super smart. She comes back from date 8. She goes, Mike, Nick is the sexiest man alive.
What changed?
He finally kissed her on date 8.
Oh my gosh. Wow. He what a nice guy. He waited quite a while. Now, a lot of people would read into that too and would think, oh, well, he doesn't really like me that much. Because so much of attraction is also like feeling that the other person is attracted to you. But she didn't do that. She kept going out. Like most of my clients don't get past date 3 if they're not feeling something.
I know. But if the conversation's like at least an 8, I say give these guys a chance. Because this was the nice guy, the, you know, super smart. Like he's written, I think, like 10 books, college professor, like PhD. Just like a little socially not great. but great guy. And he was planning these amazing dates. And he probably, you know, didn't have that much experience sexually. So he's figuring it out a little bit.
Well, and it's also like that slow love thing that I talk about a lot on the show. Like, real chemistry develops over time. And so as she got to know him better, and as she trusted him more, and as he saw her and she saw him for who they truly were, then she was able to feel an attraction on a deeper level. And it's way better than that, like, just initial, like, hubba hubba. Okay, we're going to do fourth question. I loved your story. Thank you. What are the elements of a strong, long-lasting relationship?
Ooh. It's really, you need one thing. Let's make this simple. Another scientific study, they hooked people up that have been married from anywhere from like 20 to 50 years that were self-proclaimed happy marriages and see what triggers. And these people in happy relationships, the amygdala triggered when they were giving. When both parties were givers within the relationship, that's a happy relationship. If one person is not a giver and chooses to give, these were unhappy marriages. So that was the one thing they found that needs to be there for a marriage to be happy, you know, 20, 50 years in.
They have to both feel like they're givers or feel like they've been given to.
So both just need to be givers. So, like,
you have to actually be giving.
Yeah, you have to actually do it.
So you actually have to do it is what, yeah, is what, like, you're saying.
You know, obviously, you know, the five love languages was a big book. So you need to figure out what your partner wants to receive. But yeah, you need to go give. Like, whether it's, hey, Damona, you've had a tough day. I'm going to make you, you know, chicken tonight or whatever. Find out what is helpful.
Every day. I hate cooking. So that is definitely. I am an acts of service gal. Interestingly, as we're talking about the five love languages, which if you guys don't know it, definitely look it up. I don't have like an affiliate link or anything. You can just go check it out. But I found when my husband and I like both did the quiz that we actually had the same exact first three love languages.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, that explains it. That explains why it's so easy. Do you think there's any value in trying to look for someone with, I mean, it just happened to be that way. And part of me is like, well, we've been together so long. I wonder if our love languages started to overlap or something, or if we always were the same love language. Is there any benefit in trying to figure out the love language early on and match for that? Or is that doing too much?
That's a great question. Honestly, so first of all, opposites do not attract. So if you can find people that are similar, that's a home run. So I actually, when I'm dating, do ask that question pretty early on. And I do prefer someone who's the same. It's so much easier. Like, I'm a 10 out of 10 words of affirmation.
Oh my God, we'd never be compatible.
No, probably not. Yeah, so someone.
Oh my God, I gotta tell you these things. Like, didn't I just, I just got my husband's car cleaned. Like, didn't that, that didn't show? Yeah, so, but you find somebody that is very effusive and shares their words of how they feel about you.
Yeah, like, I'm so drawn to someone who's compliment. It sounds terrible, but someone who gives me compliments, like, I'm like, ooh, tell me more.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be a part of this.
Right, because that's how you are hearing and receiving the love. So is the answer don't look for that, or just ask them so that then you can know how to deliver love in the way that they
I would say in an ideal world, you do want to look for, I mean, like, when I work with clients, I have like 36 things that we write down that are things that you probably want in a partner, and you're not going to get all of them, right? But you want to start getting a lot of them. And this is one of those things that would be part of my 36 of like something to be cognizant of while you're dating. So it's a little more strategic. You're not just, hey, mm-hmm. when I'm on the date, we're having fun. No, like, well, what are the answers to all these questions? Do these things fit? So to answer your question, yes, that would be great if they have it. But no, don't make it a deal breaker. Just be cognizant of what they are and see as you're dating, like, okay, I know they're acts of service. Let me put in that effort and do some acts of service and see if they're a giver. Are they doing what you need? And if you're both giving and giving in the right way, are you happy? Is this working? Okay. That's more important.
That is very important. Okay, last question for 5Q Fab before we move on to questions from our listeners. This is kind of a personal question, Mike. Whose relationship do you admire and why? Could be a celeb, could be someone in your life, could be me. No.
I'm not going to lie. After hearing about you, I kind of, my answer just changed.
No. But tell me for real, like if there's a relationship role model that you're like, relationship goals.
So I'm totally seeing this from afar. So I'm just imagining most of it, but that's probably the best relationship. Do you know Johnny and Lara Fernandez, the dating coaches?
Yeah.
I'm like obsessed with them from afar. Like I do know them personally, but their Facebook just looks like they're so in love.
That's everybody.
Yeah. They look so happy and like so aligned and they're like eat the same foods. I think they have the same like vegan diet and they're always just smiling and they almost like look the same too. I'm like, man, they look so happy and perfect.
Well, it's probably also they're like living this life of like giving people dating and relationship advice and then they have to live by it too. So I think that's very beautiful. I'll have to have them on the show one day. Okay, we are going to take a short break. When we come back, we have your questions, listeners. We have things that have been on your mind that you've submitted through Instagram and Twitter and email, and we are going to be answering your questions right after this. Welcome back to Dates and Mates. This is our final segment where we answer your questions. We call it Technically Dating.
Technically Dating.
This one comes to us from Instagram. This lady says, so I had a conversation with my guy and asked why he isn't putting more time into our relationship. He's busy and seems to be pulled in a lot of different directions. My question is, should I wait patiently and will that hurt me in the long run? Now, we all want guys that have stuff going on that are like living their best life as well. But it sounds like she doesn't feel like she's totally a part of all those other things.
Do we have any idea, like, are they married? How long they've been dating?
They're dating, but I don't know how long.
So I have different answers for different phases. If it's very early on and you really need a lot of interaction, maybe, you know, you could do a quick, like, you know, it'd make me so happy if you do X. And so you're painting exactly what he needs to do. And you go tell him, you'd make me really happy if you did X. And see what he delivers. And then when he does do something, you need to give him some appreciation. Like, thank you so much. Like, it's so great to hear from you. It's so great to do this. I'm having so much fun. This is fabulous. Like, I know you're busy. Like, I
love spending time with you.
Yeah, like, you're amazing.
That is so key, Mike. And this is something that I feel like we haven't talked about on the show because I've said you need to tell a guy how you want him to show up for you. And yet the other side of that is to also acknowledge it when he does. Because so many times we're like, do this, do that. I mean, I don't want to do it. Do this, do that. But then you forget to close the loop. And that's so key to know that like his actions change the way that you're feeling.
And can I give them like a bonus tip?
Please.
Bonus tip, in your appreciation, if it's just a little more valuable than the thing he actually did, he's going to want to do it more. So like, for example, if he, you know, did the dishes and you go give him a big smooch and be like, oh my, I can't believe you did the dishes. Like, you're so amazing. Thank you so much. He's like, whoa, all I did was like clean a few dishes and I'm getting like this big bear hug and a smooch, I might be doing the dishes more often.
Right, exactly. It totally works. I can tell you from experience. Also, let's address, she says, if I wait patiently, will that hurt me in the long run? She shouldn't just be like waiting. Like, what time do you get off work? Like, right? Mm-hmm. What else can she do?
Yeah, definitely not waiting. 'Cause you're valuable. But being strategic and having a conversation with him at the right time, like not like in the middle of his workday when he's in the meeting or something, but hey, would it be possible to talk to you when you get a moment? And then, you know, he rings you up when he's free and you say, you're so awesome and I love spending time with you. It'd make me so happy if we could do something X or I would love to hear from you more or see you. It makes me so happy when I get to do X with you. And then see how he responds.
Right.
Because maybe he can make some time for you. Maybe he doesn't realize. And
maybe it's not his love language. Like, maybe your love language is quality time. And he thought, oh, it was acts of service or something like that. And he did all these things, but he didn't realize that it wasn't connecting for you. I have another question for you, Mike. This one comes to us from one of our friends with benefits from the Patreon club. She says, what does it mean when a guy says he does something because it's funny? For example, my guy tells me other girls are flirting with him because he says he's just being honest and he isn't doing anything with them, but he finds it cute that I get jealous. Is this a red flag?
Whoa. Finds it cute when she's jealous.
And funny. Cute and funny. What do you say, Mike?
It sounds like he's almost like deflecting her feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wonder if that person who asked that is feeling like he's not listening or not concerned about her. I mean, I'm just projecting that, but you know, I think you need to present, if it's bothering you, it needs to be presented that way. Like, hey, when you do act, you know, when you're flirting with these girls, it makes me feel a little less special. And I don't ever want to change who you are. Like, I love who you are. But I just wanted you to know how I feel and, you know.
Own your feelings and then see how he responds to that.
Because maybe he doesn't, if you're feeling upset, maybe he doesn't want you to feel that way.
Yeah, I tend to not think of anything as a red flag. People are always like, what are the red flags in dating? I think it's just like, what kind of response do you get when you express your truth and your feelings and what you need? I also wonder, if he is doing that because he's not feeling like you're seeing him enough and he's not feeling like you're pumping him up. Because why else would he go, if you're in a relationship and he's committed to you, why would he need the validation from these other women flirting with him? And then why would he need to tell you? It's just because he wants you to tell him like those same things, right?
That's a great point. Yeah,
maybe I mean, it's a childish way to go about it.
Yeah.
But that's probably what's underneath.
Yeah, like
the whole situation.
I mean, it does lead to such an amazing point. Just go sit down and be like, hey, are you happy in our relationship or what's going on within our relationship?
What can I do to make you feel more secure? Because you don't need to get validation from these other women if I'm doing what you need, you know?
Yeah, maybe he wants some flirting from his girlfriend and some words of appreciation. And then he'll be like, there's other women in this room? I don't see them. There's just my girlfriend. She's fantastic.
I need to know your love language, honey. Okay. One bonus question. Because you're a guy, and because this came from a guy, our fan Jose, who's been listening to the show for a really long time, he says, what is it that women with children take care of guys better than those with women without children? Do you see this, Mike? I don't know. Do you date ladies with children?
I have.
Do they take better care of you?
Probably.
I think, like, we're just so used to taking care. I mean, I even mommed you earlier. I was like, you need to scoot your chair in. Let me put this microphone here. But, like, that could be kind of dangerous thinking for Jose, right? Like, the fact that he's already drawing a conclusion about a whole group of people based on a couple of experiences, right?
Yeah. And, you know, it's probably fun initially. It's like, ooh, someone's doing stuff for me. And I've been there. I've had women that do stuff for me. But eventually it's like, hold on. She took the masculine role. And now what am I doing? How do I get to provide? Wait a second. I'm no longer sexually attracted to my mom, who happens to be my girlfriend. You don't want to date your mom. You don't want them doing stuff. You want to be doing stuff for them, letting them kick their feet back. You know, mom is doing stuff for her kids all day long.
All day long.
All day long. And then imagine, back to the chicken.
And when, all night, too. Okay.
Yeah.
But I digress. Yeah. Back to the chicken.
Yeah, like, be the man.
Oh, the chicken.
Yeah, we're going to cook the chicken so mom can rest. And all of a sudden, she's like, whoa, this guy's great. He's doing stuff for me. I don't have to do stuff for him. I get to kick my feet back. Like, ooh. Maybe I owe him like a kiss or something or a good conversation, or I'm excited about this.
I like that you didn't go blue on that.
What do you mean?
Good conversation. It's like, oh, there's other things you could do.
Yeah, but sorry. I didn't just mean the kiss.
We're going to keep it clean for today's episode. This is our last of 5Q Feb. I'd love to hear which takeaways from the wonderful wisdom that Mike shared really hit home for you. You can tweet me at 5Q with using the hashtag. You can tweet me using the hashtag 5QFeb and share those insights, and we'll share them with the rest of our audience as well. Thank you so much for being here, Mike.
Thank you for having me.
And you can catch up with Mike at easydatingcoach.com and check out his YouTube channel. It's so awesome. Look for Easy Dating Coach. And while you're on his website, get his free gift. There's so many free gifts, but one that you think I think you might really be interested in is the video for how to get and keep a guy forever. We'll put the link in the show notes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed episode 298 of Dates and Mates. Again, I'm at Damona Hoffman on all the socials, and I want to hear your love questions. And maybe you need a little bit more support from me right now, and you want to get in on some of those live coaching calls. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/datesandmates, and see how I can support you in a bigger way in love. We'll be back again next week when I will be talking to my co-host from the TV series Hashtag Black Love, Mr. Jack Daniels, who has a big announcement about his own love life. And he'll be talking with me about how dating has changed since Black Love and since we began this podcast. We're coming up on 300 episodes, so we're going to ring in the 300th episode in a big way. We'll see you next week, but until then, I wish you happy dating.